B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do I describe it? Happy we won. Happy to get to 6-0. So yeah, we just grinded it out pretty good. Got kind of forced into one group, one grouping there in the second half. I don't think that's ever happened in 20 years. But defense played great. Special teams played great. Outside of a few plays, you know, it would have been pretty good. So we're hanging in there.
And Tom Brady remains tepid. And that's been kind, perhaps. Tepid on the play of, the offense anyway. How would he describe that win? How would I describe it? You always know when he repeats the question. Here it comes.
Yeah, he's giving himself time to think.
Here comes the whopper. So again, he credits the defense and the special teams. He's clearly not happy with the offense. Clearly not happy with the offense, as the other cut that we have from Tom Brady last night really highlighted. Jimmy, play that other one.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get 7-0. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, so that pause tells it all, right? He's not feeling it with the offense. Ben Volen in his great rip job of the Patriots today in the Globe. Tremendous. Even though I disagree with the main tenet of it. I disagree with the basic, you know, the overall point of the story, which is Volen writes, forget the score. The Patriots offense is just not good enough to win the AFC right now. Do you agree with that?
Part of it, because if he said the offensive line, I would agree.
Well, but now you got to wrap it into the whole offense.
Okay, so
is the offense good enough to win the AFC right now?
Yeah.
So I
but
disagree.
To win the Super Bowl, no, the offensive line is.
Well, again, I hate handicapping the Super Bowl in October.
What's the difference? No. We can handicap the AFC Championship game, but we can't handicap the Super Bowl?
Yeah, if you want me to, I have them winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a massive coaching disadvantage in the Super Bowl, and they'll overcome whatever gaps they have on the roster.
So, but are you worried at all about the offense?
No.
Not at all?
I mean, I can tell you that it's not great, and I can tell you they have problems, but it doesn't worry me. I think it's overcome by the defense, and really the advantage they have a coach and how no one else can figure it out.
So look, again, I would throw in the experience at quarterback that I think in a big moment, Brady's going to be able to make a big play.
That too.
And they'll have, but I will tell you that the offensive line worries me. And I don't think it's wrong to say you're worried about the offensive line and that it could undermine them.
So if there's a list, it starts with the offensive line. I would agree with you.
I mean, their offensive line play last night was wretched. It was wretched. They can't block. This was the freaking Giants we're talking about. The Giants. So we're not talking about some, you know, some powerhouse in the league that is a threat to win the Super Bowl. The teams they played, the Giants, the Redskins, they haven't been able to run the ball. These teams suck. They suck. The one defense you face in there that I think is legit was the Bills. The Bills defense, I think, is for real. That defense is legit. The rest of it, absolute freaking horse crap. Absolute garbage. And last night, their inability to block, to me, was alarming. That was pathetic last night.
So I'll just give you the raw numbers. The Pats are third in the league in scoring. They remain third in the league in points per game. Now, that includes 5 touchdowns on defense and special teams. They got 2 more last night, which you should all acknowledge is not sustainable. That does not. You have 5 defensive special teams touchdowns in 6 games. You're not going to end up with 14 on the year. I'm sorry. That's going to dry up. It always dries up. So the points per game is misleading. I fully acknowledge it. So let me back out the 35 points you've gotten on defense and special teams. And I looked at this today. Instead of averaging just over 30 points a game, you'd average 25.8 if you backed out the 35 points on defense and special teams. 25.8 points per game right now is good for 11th in the league. But I haven't backed out any of the defensive or special teams touchdowns from anyone else. So those teams ahead of you, 1 through 10, for sure have defensive and special teams touchdowns that would bring them down too. So my guess is if you did that with everybody, just purely offensive points, you're a top 10 offense. So let's just say you're number 9. With this defense, with this coach, with your schedule, with the road you're going to have by home dates in the playoffs, is the offense enough to win a Super Bowl? Yes, yes, and yes. If they do nothing, it's enough to win a Super Bowl. They're going to be home in the playoffs. They're going to have a bye. They're going to have a tomato can in that first game. That's the way. That's where they're headed. There's two losses left on this schedule at most, no matter how bad they play. So that's home. That's a number one seed. And so given the schedule, their division, their road, their coach, their defense, it's enough. And so I disagree with the overall premise, but everything he said and you guys are saying inside of it, there's some merit to. Like, for example, Volin says, Maz, the offensive line can't open holes in the run game or give Tom Brady enough time to throw. The receiving core is getting decimated by injuries, and Brady looks like a shell of himself, throwing wildly, not protecting the ball, and locking onto receivers. He doesn't look comfortable playing with his teammates.
True.
So discuss that.
Yeah, true. But again, I think there's a cause and effect there as it pertains to Brady. Brady's the least of my concerns right now. I have no doubt that in a big moment, if everything else is working, Tom Brady's going to be fine.
So what if it's not working? You know, which is...
I am worried about Brady. Because I think that last night, again, these few weeks have been evidence. When Brady starts to lose confidence in the people around him, he'll do what any other quarterback will do, which is he'll press and he'll make irrational decisions and he'll do stupid things. So, you know, that pick last night, that throw was so bad. The ball to Edelman, I have to believe the wind was a factor. Now, Brady was asked after the game about the wind, and he said the wind wasn't a factor when he was throwing anyway. I don't know. I mean, maybe he just didn't want to make an excuse because it was such a horse crap throw.
Yeah.
Because that was as bad a throw as you'll ever see him make. Like, really, that was just horrendous. And I'm talking about the physical throw now. Like, holy crap, you missed the target by that much?
Brutal.
And then the strip sack, I know it was Izzo. I'm not telling you I love the idea of Izzo being out on an island there with a pass rusher either. But 20-year-old quarterback in the league, or 20-year veteran in the league, you have the answers to the test, and you're going to look like freaking Daniel Jones back there not being able to sense the rush, or Jarrett Stidham. That's the kind of crap Brady did when he was a rookie or a second-year player. Like, so I put some of that on him, too. And I think that he can get so frustrated that he loses his composure because he's human. I mean, at the end of the day, he is human.
Volin writes, Brady trusts Julian Edelman and James White, and that's about it.
True.
They each had 9 catches, with Edelman going for 113 yards, White for just 46. But with Josh Gordon and Dorsett hurt, Brady doesn't look at too many of his other receivers. Rookie Jacoby Myers actually showed some promise, catching all 4 of his targets for 54 yards. But this game highlighted a pressing need to add more talent around Brady. So my point is, why is Jacoby Myers only worth 4 looks when he catches the ball the way he catches the ball?
4 might as well have been 40 given the way it was going.
I mean, right, exactly.
So at least last night was a step in the right direction.
Why wouldn't Brady trust him? I mean, and if you're telling me he doesn't get tremendous separation, and well, it feels to me so far that he might not exactly need it because he's got really good hands. And really good instincts as a receiver. I mean, coming back, that diving catch on the back shoulder was a veteran sort of catch. You don't see rookies looking like that. Never mind rookie quarterbacks, you know, who are converted, which is what he is. So there's some real instincts there. And I'll say again, that catch that he had above his helmet that he then raised up in the air.
Good play.
As he was coming down, so the defensive back doesn't poke it away, was just a really fine, instinctive football play.
Protecting the ball.
So why doesn't Brady look at that and say he deserves more of my attention and faith?
Because over 20 years, Brady's become a snob when it comes to receivers.
What a snob.
That's what he is. He's become that.
He's like a Gasper going into the Nordstrom rack on the wrong day, right?
Yeah, he doesn't go to the rack.
No, TJ Maxx, no, something like that.
No, he's going to Saks.
Well, he's going to Nordstrom. Nordstrom Rack is like the knockoff, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean.
Sorry, Gasper. I didn't mean to do that.
That's still high end. He's slumming it if he's going to, you know, again, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, something like that. Like, that's, he doesn't want to be caught dead in any of those places.
You guys think Gasper's bargain shopping? What are you, high?
Well, Nordstrom Rack, I thought, would be that little tweener spot for him.
No. He's going to Saks. Don't kid yourself. He's getting the cashmere scarf and the cute little shoes and all the whole nine, and the alligator belt, for crying out loud. Who are you kidding? And Brady's the same kind of snob.
Volin writes, the offensive line is still a mess. Left tackle Marshall Newhouse allowed another bad sack in the first quarter, and the running backs had nowhere to run all night. The Patriots really need to bring Isaiah Wynn back off injured reserve. So if the offensive, if I'm worried, quote unquote, about anything, it is the offensive line. Because again, I'll tell you, historically, the line has caught up to you. It cost you the AFC title game in Denver that one year. It cost you a Super Bowl or two against the New York Giants. When it comes to an end, if someone nips you, and the Eagles thing was different, but so I'm not saying this is every loss, but that's been one problem where it's sort of a consistent method of getting the Patriots is beating them up front. So if I do have any worry, it is with the offensive line.
I mean, to me, that's number one. In fact, I think that's sort of a standard thing. Like, it's the best way to undermine any team. Is it, can you win with a bad offensive line? Can anybody win with a bad offensive line?
It's really hard.
It almost never happens. In fact, it's the number one thing that'll take down a team, if you ask me. You want to suck? Have a bad offensive line. So I, you know, now again, I am willing to allow for the fact that Wynn could come off of IR, play well, and it will stabilize some. That could very well happen, and they'll be right about Wynn. But the fact that they are where they are now, with Marshall effing Newhouse playing left tackle for Tom Brady, think about that for a second. Bill Belichick's the coach. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback who's ever lived, the greatest football player who's ever lived, has Marshall effing Newhouse as his left tackle. There's your bouncer. Like, Brady wants to be pissed about something. He can be pissed all he wants about the receivers. I'd be pissed about Marshall effing Newhouse as my left tackle.
And it is their fault because, I mean, they drafted a kid in the first round.
Okay, but
he
again,
can't stay healthy. Is that their fault?
No, but I think that given the injury last year, given the amount that you have built around the quarterback, if you can't protect them, that's a big problem. You have to have a good backup plan at left tackle.
Well, I would also say the coaching last night, I would not be putting, as you mentioned, Ryan is a one-on-one with an outside pass rusher. That had to have been either Newhouse blows his assignment, or that's a big mistake by Josh McDaniels. You can't be asking him to do that. And people who've been paying attention to that, like Greg Bedard, have told us all year, Izzo's had trouble out on the edge blocking. And you go one-on-one with an outside pass rusher on a slow-developing play?
And you know what? With Izzo, that was just the most obvious one last night. There were some other plays where he got trucked. I mean, and again, like I texted Bedard about this during the game because I said, good God, you're right about Izzo. He's been saying it over and over again. I said, you're right. And Bedard's reply was, it's really not his fault. He's undersized. And you know what? Again, go back to the coaches. Like, you're asking this guy to do something. He's not, to me, a lot of this is starting to fall on Belichick.
Okay, so we pick it up. All this, meaning I still have him winning the Super Bowl. So, isn't that beautiful? We can pick him apart and still say they're a Super Bowl favorite. What a team. It is agenda-free Friday. No agendas here. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. I forgot to mention that Bob Soucy was brought to you by Coors Light, the official beer of football Sundays. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coming up next, Mr. Dolce & Gabbana himself. He should get a sponsorship. Talk about, you know, a Peter Millar sponsorship or something. The Natalie-dressed Christopher Gasper next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth interception by Daniel Jones. Patriots take over at the 43. Another takeaway by New England's defense. Brady under center from the straight on. And with a counter, play fake. Brady on a deep drop. He pumps. He fires down the middle for Edelman. Ball's intercepted by Jenkins. Running back to the goal line. He turns past the 5, 10, 15, 20. Jenkins takes it near side 30 to the 35, 40. Along the sideline 50. 45, 40 of New England. And finally spins out of bounds with a late hit as well along the sideline. And here comes the penalty marker with Joe Tooney over for the Patriots. He took a shot from the Giants. So Brady threw one down the middle in search of Edelman and gave it right back to New York and the Giants on the return by Jenkins.
Horrible throw of max protection. There's two guys down the middle into the wind. It's not even anywhere near Edelman. But this is what you got to do when you got no help on the outside. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to pound it for the weeks until they get some help. And you're running one-man, two-man routes right now because you got nothing on the outside. And that's no disrespect to those two. You need four receivers to function in a spread. And they don't have it right now.
And no disrespect to Zoe, who is tremendous, but boy, is that looking at that through Brady-colored glasses. And he did acknowledge it was a bad throw. What does the outside receivers have to do on a play in which Julian Edelman was open?
He split the two defenders. There was space there.
The field spacing wasn't the way it was supposed to be.
Chris Gasper joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Yeah.
Chris, if he throws it to the front side of him, that's a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a weird throw. I don't know if he kind of double clutch. I don't know if he was expecting something else or was thrown off by. I mean, the throw was bad. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes if it's like basketball, right? If the spacing's not right and you bring your defender into
Chris,
the play.
Was that interception about spacing?
Well, the guy has to be there to make the play, doesn't he?
No, but okay, so maybe it's incomplete. It's still a horrible throw.
Yeah, I said it was a horrible throw.
So that's it. Why don't we end, period?
It could be a combination.
Period, paragraph.
No way, it's a bad throw.
Yeah, bad throw, and then the spacing's not right, so you bring a guy there who ends up picking it off instead of it going behind Edelman or off his hand and hitting the turf.
I just, look, I mean, I understand Brady is not surrounded by much, but I'm not going to get. That had nothing to do with the surrounding cast. I am sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's throwing to Edelman there. That one's on him.
I mean, physically.
Mostly.
It's as bad a throw as I can. Again, from the physical part of it, again, I'm not talking about a miscommunication or the actual physical throw. It's as bad a throw as I can ever remember Tom Brady making.
I get more mad if when he, you know, three games in a row with a pick here, I feel like he's pressing. But like for me, you know, that's like a mechanical mistake. It's a bad throw. For me, it's the mental mistakes where I'm like, what are you doing? Where are you throwing?
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
like,
right.
like the Chuck and Duck James White one against Washington. It's like that bothers me more than that because that one's not going to happen
ever.
And he's pressing to try and compensate for what's around him.
So fair. Like that was just, you know, okay. So that was a bad physical error. Happens. I'm with you. How about on the strip sack?
I took a look at that play. You know, so you said it. It's a slow developing play to begin with. And you're thinking you have time, and they ran it off a play action. And part of the play action was Shaq Mason to sell it, pulling from the guard spot like he would if they were actually running that run. So now he stops that, and Shaq Mason is essentially like the free guy, right? Look at the end of that play. There's three guys blocking. Three guys. It's Mason, Tooney, and Karras are all blocking Dalvin Tomlinson, and Izzo ends up one-on-one with Carter. Shaq Mason was supposed to help. He read that wrong. He was supposed to read it that he would help Carter. They didn't need to have three guys on Dalvin Tomlinson.
Right.
So I looked at that a bunch of times and concluded, surprise, surprise, not Brady's fault.
Well,
they messed up the protection.
I mean, they max protected and they still had a tight end one-on-one with the pass.
It was six guys against four, but you lose that advantage if you put three guys on one guy. It wasn't Dalvin Tomlinson. Sorry. It was Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence was the guy. There were three guys blocking him. And there didn't need to be three guys blocking him, especially if Izzo's one-on-one outside with one of their edge rushers. So that one I don't put on Brady.
Somebody blew it. No
question. Because that came from the blind side. It's a slow-developing play. He knows the protection is 6-on-4. He's expecting more time there. And he was taking his time, but he's expecting to have that time. And I don't think they drew that up for Izzo to be all by himself with no help and no safety valve on Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, his spider sense still wasn't working, Chris. For a guy who's been in the league...
Hashtag not his fault.
Yeah, for a guy who's been in the league 20 freaking years, you tell me you don't feel that pressure coming?
Well, there was a guy coming from the other side. I mean, for having a 6-on-4, they really didn't protect very well at all in that play. There was a guy coming towards him. I think he was focused on that, and then he got hit from behind.
Yeah, there was no question in my mind that protection got botched because Izzo had to cover two gaps. He had to cover the inside and the out. Like, he was going to get smoked no matter what.
It wasn't right.
Right?
It just didn't look right. And maybe it's not Mason's fault. Maybe somebody else who was already on Dexter Lawrence was supposed to do something else. I just saw Mason as sort of the free guy, and he actually pauses for a second. It's almost like a running back in pass pro where he's kind of hands on the knees looking, all right, what do I do? Who's coming? And he's like, oh, no one. I'll jump in on, you know, the two guys that are blocking Dexter Lawrence. It's like, oops, Ryan Izzo's all by himself.
Quarterback's still going to get
Carter.
Rid of the ball, Chris.
Hashtag not his fault.
Anyway, Chris, you talked to some of the Patriots receivers last night. What did we
do? I was just in scrums, but I have to say, like, I'll give you guys credit on this. It was eye-opening to me what they were saying when they were answering questions, like Jacoby Myers on the back shoulder throw. And I sent you guys these quotes.
Listen to this.
I kind of figured if I dropped this one, I might not get another one. I made sure I held on to it tight.
Oh, I love that. Like, they know they are this close to being shut out, or they are shut out, and everything is being judged by Brady like you read about.
Oh, yeah. He's like the impossible to please parent or coach. Or I said in my email, Murray, if you say, let's go to dinner, but this place doesn't take reservations, like, it's the same thing. Like, he's going to just launch into you. No matter what you do, you cannot placate him.
Murray doesn't
like you. And you were on his enemies list at that moment.
So Murray doesn't do walk-ups?
No, absolutely not.
Things got to be a certain way, just like Tom. You know, he wants things a certain way. No. I want things a certain way.
He wants to know what time he's going to be eating. There's no, I've tried to get him to go to restaurants. He's like, does this place take reservations?
I'm waiting.
No, he's like, I'm out. That's it.
So you two must be a pleasure to
I
be
was
with.
Say, so Myers said, I knew I had to hang on to that one because I knew I wouldn't be getting another one if I
did. He
did
say that. And then there was a follow-up. Megan O'Brien asked him a follow-up from, you know, Patriots.com, basically saying, you know, do you feel more pressure? And he sort of backtracked. But the original one, how about this one? You know, they're asking about, he has to get into it. Gunner's getting more snaps, obviously, because of the injuries. And he says, you know, we always pray for a chance to show them that we know what we're doing. Not even go in there and make 10 catches a game. Just show them that we can run the right routes and be in the right spot. These kids are petrified. They are petrified of the quarterback and petrified of getting yelled at. And so that was eye-opening for me. Here's another one from Gunner. He's talking about Edelman helping him. He says, you know, he helps a ton. Because with him, there's not a lot of room for errors. He's a very intense guy. And then he goes on to say, so it's kind of like, I don't want to piss him off, him and Tom both.
These guys are walking on eggshells.
They are. And so that's one thing where I'm like, yikes, these guys sound terrified of their bitter, impossible-to-please quarterback. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Okay, is Brady taking it too far?
I think he has. You know, I think he's misdirecting and misprojecting his anger about probably 20 years where he feels like, well, they said I was going to have this guy, or if I took less money, we'd sign Deion Branch, and like, it didn't happen. I think he's taking it out on these guys because he feels like, you know, I'm not speaking for him here. This is me surmising. I think he feels like these guys either shouldn't be on the roster, or if they are, they're not really guys that he should be dealing with. Like, it should be like when he was a rookie and he was throwing to guys off to the side. It's like Stidham should be throwing to these guys off to the side after practice, not me, Tom Brady, working with these guys.
So when I heard that comment, and I hadn't heard it last night on the way in today, that Brady made about the young guys, and he said they're working at it, I appreciate their efforts, that comment, I went, ooh, there's actually a little bit of humility there, right? There's Brady acknowledging, you know what, I remember what it was like when I was young. And you know what, it's hard. I just wanted to get into the playbook and make sure I knew the playbook. And so these guys are in a tough spot. Like, on the one hand, I feel like he's acknowledging that it's not their fault. But I feel like he's blaming them. So, like, and you just said it, Chris.
Well, Chris's point is
he's taking it out on them.
He's blaming the team, but he's taking it out on those
guys.
That's what I think is happening.
Yes, he's taking it out on them. And you know what? It's like, well, what good does that do? It's not his fault. You know, it's not Jacoby Myers' fault or Gunner's fault.
Jacoby Myers has done well with
I totally agree. So if you're Brady, it's like you want to be pissed at Bill. You want to be pissed at Kraft. You want to be pissed over the Antonio Brown thing. Fine, be pissed. It's okay. Don't take it out on the other guys, on the young guys.
Yeah.
Not their fault.
But he looks at those guys, I think, and sees the personification of getting the short end of the stick. Like, that, those two guys are the short end of the stick in walking, talking human form.
Agree or disagree with your colleague, Ben Volen. Forget the final score, he says. The Patriots' offense is just not good enough to win the AFC right now. Agree or disagree?
I agree that the offense is not good, but I think they could still win the AFC. I mean, let's just break it down. You know, let's sort of extrapolate. They will be the number one seed.
Yep.
The game will be at Gillette.
Yep.
Mahomes will have to come in there.
Yep. Twice.
I think it's good enough for them to win the AFC. Is it good enough by their standards? No, it's not. I mean, clearly they need to get better, and I think it opens the door for someone to beat them. But if we just play the whole thing out, this defense, the games here, they're good enough. Barely, but they're good enough.
Yeah, and Bill, like, people always leave out the coaching. Like, you're going to have a massive coaching advantage with whoever comes in here. So, you know, include that. And again, what Brady's surrounded by, they always leave out Bill. Brady's surrounded by Bill, who has a bigger advantage at his position that Tom has at his. And so, like, just don't forget that. And Brady never includes that, but you are surrounded by someone who's going to outsmart almost everyone that he faces.
Can I add one disclaimer?
Yes.
Because I've said to you, my biggest concern is the line. The offense is good enough, assuming the line's okay, the offense is good enough if Brady believes it's good enough. If Brady doesn't believe it's good enough, and he starts, you know, just chucking balls up there, getting frustrated, and then it's not going to be. If he doesn't believe in it, that's a problem.
The thing where I would side with Volen that's different from last year is, like, you know, the running game. So it's like if they go into one of these games and they can't run the football at all, that's tough.
Okay, we'll get your thoughts on Sony Michel and the running game and calls for Gasper right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
40-yard drive by Nugent with his eighth different team in the NFL. He gets the upright. And these Patriots are missing their four-time Pro Bowl, two-time All-Pro kicker, Steven Gostkowski. Bad sound for a kicker.
Then there's the kicking. So he missed the one. Doing. Right off that upright.
It was wang dang left post clang.
But I'll tell you what. He was testing that left upright all night.
So I was just going to say, does he think the objective is to hit the upright? Because he hit one in Washington. He hit another one last night. And he came close twice last night.
There were like two or three that he curved around the left upright.
So I'm just wondering, is there a chance that he doesn't understand the objective?
No, he just sucks, Maz.
Like, did anyone tell him that, no, you're not supposed to hit those. You're supposed to kick it between them. Like, I just wonder if there's that possibility.
Again, the Volen rip job. Says the Patriots were able to get by without a kicker against the Redskins and Giants, but this is now a big issue. And it's not just the kicker's fault. Nugent probably should have made that 40-yard field goal, but Jake Bailey's hold was awful.
Told you, Ace Ventura style.
There we go.
But the laces were directly in.
I told you. I told you guys before. When I was saying that about Gostkowski,
We saw it in the preseason, but it didn't happen every time.
Ray Finkel.
Yep.
Bailey had issues when holding for Gostkowski, and obviously still has a lot of work to do. Three times the Patriots eschewed. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah,
eschewed. Yes.
Eschewed. They declined a field goal to go for it on fourth down.
Bypassed.
Made up like four words there. And the Patriots were stopped twice and got bailed out by defensive holding a third time. But Belichick was right to pass up the field goal because a field goal operation is a serious issue right now. So, I don't know. The hold was bad with the laces in. I get it, but as we just mentioned, Nugent was hugging that left post all night long. He was bound to push it just a little bit on one of those.
Oh, he was shooting at the flagstick the whole game, wasn't he?
Yeah, you guys want my guy back now, don't you?
No, I want someone else.
I do.
Who do you want? Young Weku?
I want someone that I've never heard of before. I've told you a million times.
Okay.
And maybe he qualifies because I barely heard of him. I want some kid from the hayfields with a giant leg and an empty head. That's what I want.
So since you mentioned Bailey, can I just...
Yes.
We touch on that, too. Like, the whole laces out thing is as basic as it gets. Did they have dumb kids into Stanford or what? Like, what's the deal? He can't figure this one out?
How can you punt so well and not figure out just turning a little bit?
I mean, as soon as I saw that happen, I said, he didn't spin the ball that way, did he? Because, you know, they bring back the replay and they're focusing on the hold. I'm like, here we go. Right? So you know that's coming. And all of a sudden, you're like, he didn't spin the laces toward the kicker, did he? And he spun the ball counterclockwise. I'm like, is this guy a jackass? Is he just dumb? Like, I'm serious, though. Like, how the hell does that happen? He must have practiced that a million times already. He spun the laces toward the kicker.
Regardless, if it's that close, and sorry to cut you off,
Chris, go ahead.
Shouldn't the kicker still be able to make that kick?
Yes.
Isn't this like this? Come on. Can a kicker explain to me how much this really matters? Because I'm convinced it's a mental thing.
But it is a mental thing, but kickers are like golfers, right? The slightest thing changes. I mean, that's just, we all know that, right? And so to look at that ball and know you're kicking it with the laces towards you, all of a sudden now you feel like you're kicking a concrete brick, even though you're not. It's the same football.
Like I said,
I mean,
he,
I just,
He was testing that left post all night long. It was a matter of time before we heard that noise.
No, Bailey can probably write some formula, some physics formula that can calculate the height and distance against the wind of his punts. But ask him to spin the laces out, and he can't do that.
Okay. Thoughts with Gasper, as promised. Joey and Lowell. Yes, Joey.
Mikey, I have a tough time following you. I think you're all over the map with this receiver thing. Last year's receivers, were bad, which I agree with you, and they were so bad that it was the ball gag thing. And then you kind of flip-flopped all year to, okay, they're good, no, they're not, blah, blah, blah. Then when this year opened up, they literally lost three of their top four receivers, if you want to include Gordon.
So what's the point, Joey? You don't think they have enough?
I know they don't have enough. How would anyone think?
Let me explain it to you. Maybe you're not hearing me. It's not in a vacuum. It's not just offense against offense. There's a coach out there. There's a defense out there. You're at home or on the road. You have buys or you don't. And you add it all up. And I think they're a Super Bowl favorite with the offense that they have because of all those other things. And the offense can be good enough. Again, they're third in the league in points per game. If you back out all the defensive and special teams touchdowns, they're like, as someone sent it to me, they're actually fifth in the league in points if you back out those. I had them as ninth, but it's somewhere in there.
Is it points or points per game? Because now they're one game up on everybody.
Yeah, points per game. Okay. They have 190 points, which is number one in the league, but they played one more game, so I don't do that. Points per game.
Okay.
They're third. If you take out all their defensive or special teams touchdowns, everybody's defensive and special teams touchdowns, according to this email, they're fifth. So can you win with a top 10, top 5 offense with this defense, this coach, the road they're going to have?
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
So what's not to understand?
So I think here's sort of the issue, and I'm going to tie it back, surprise, surprise, to Brady. I think there's a difference between asking him to be a game manager and forcing his hand to be a game manager. And I think they forced his hand, you know, and I think that's what people are seeing.
I love Brady as a game manager. He is so good at that. And I like game managers in general.
I agree. It's not a pejorative term. It's not.
I mean,
Not everybody can do it. I mean, Maz and I were having an off-air conversation about Josh Allen. He can't do it.
Exactly.
There's a lot of guys that can't do it. It's a skill.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers can do it. I don't think some of the great quarterbacks in the game can do it. I wish Rodgers or Favre, some of my quarterbacks, had some of that game management skill. They would have won more.
My quarterback.
Yes, my quarterbacks. Yep, the ones that, yep, you got it. So, I think there are a lot of guys like that. I mean, let's see what Patrick Mahomes is as a game manager, if it ever comes to it. If he ever has a defense and a running game or, you know, whatever the situation is, he's just got to manage the game. Let's see if he can do it. Or if he just wants to run around there and chuck it all over the yard. I think Brady as a game manager is great. I have no problem with that.
So, but the idea of it being forced on him. Gasper said this last night on the pregame show. I heard it on the ride home. And I thought, for whatever reason, it didn't register with me. The receiving core has been an issue for 2 years. Not one. Like, I forget. Their solution last year was a guy who basically was on a lifetime suspension for substance abuse. So you know, all of a sudden it's Josh Gordon. They were so desperate last year that they had to make the Gordon deal. This year, they went and got Antonio Brown, and all of a sudden Gordon looks like Mr. Stability next to Antonio Brown. So when you add up the 2 years, I can see why Brady's head's about to explode. Like, I get it.
Ish. Thank you, Maz.
Ish.
I get it. But that doesn't mean I still think it's weak to take it out on the young guys.
He's still on the best team in the best situation in the league. All told, all things considered, he's still in the best spot in the league. I don't think he feels that way. Long commercial-free segment. Gasper on the running backs right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports.
The third and one give Brady to Michelle, who runs up the middle, and he is slammed backwards. No Tony chance. Michelle is stuffed on the carry. And Calvin Tomlinson, the nose tackle for the Giants out of Alabama in his third year with the stuff, and it's going to be a fourth and short.
You can't kick here after that start. Get the ball to Bolden.
So it's a fourth down and one. Holden will sit this one out with Johnson, the fullback, up in front of Michelle. Two tights, one right, one left. Brady under center, a fourth and one from the 19. They give to Michelle, runs it right. And Tony Michelle with a dive, slices with a reach for an apparent first down.
Yeah, he's...
Although, pending
should,
the spot...
It's close, but he should have
like
it.
He got it. Brad Allen, the referee, will seek a measurement. The Giants say they stopped him short. Looked initially as he carved across the right side.
Oh.
But Michelle was able to lunge for the first down.
He made
the line
short.
To make. But now as we get another look, looks like it's one of those left foot spots.
You ask me all
as
week.
As opposed to a right foot spot, which would have been a no doubt first down.
You ask me all week, what's your weakness right now? It's your offensive line. Your inability to push people off the ball to establish that line of scrimmage. Hey, you had a couple nice runs when you opened it up and they could get through there. But, man, you had three cracks at this thing.
And the officials stretch the stick.
Good job, Giants.
The Patriots are two legs.
Wow. They stuffed you.
Stopped him.
I'm sorry. That's embarrassing.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Well, this is going to lead me right to the Mimecast email of the day. Let's do this, Jimmy, if we could. The Mimecast email of the day, please.
It's the Mimecast email of the day!
Dear Felga, I fucking hate you. And I think Maz is a douche.
The Mimecast email of the day!
Send one to Felger at 5thesportshub.com.
Mimecast is the official cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Visit them today. It's actually to Mass. Subject line, Sony Michelle sucks and blows. Emailer Max says, I was a huge fan of Sony in Georgia. He could catch the ball and make guys miss. I was all in on the pick. But he looks so effing slow, it's insane. It's insane that Brandon Bolden comes in and runs better than him. The Brady sneaks? Maybe because the running back sucks and blows, Maz. Look at all the running backs in the league that are good. Every team has one, we don't. Sony has sucked and blowed so bad, I don't even recognize the guy. Yeah, the line hasn't been great, but watch him. He's slow, can't break tackles, falls behind the line of scrimmage. It's embarrassing to watch.
So to me, I'll tell you what, I'll even live with the absence of speed. I just don't think he runs tough. Or he certainly didn't run tough last night. Maybe he did last year at times, and when they got into the postseason, they were obviously able to get him into the end zone, what was it, six times in the postseason? But the short yardage thing, I mean, boy, he it feels like he goes down a little too easy on those, and I told you, the play that bothered me the most all night. First down, third play of the fourth quarter on the Giants 49, ran to the left side, and it just felt like, the way it says on the game log, was pushed out of bounds. And that's how I would put it, pushed. It was just a little push, and he didn't fight for any extra yards or turn up the field or anything. That play bothered me.
Yeah, Chris? He looks tentative and meek a bit.
Gasper?
Yeah, no, I would agree with what Murray said. I mean, I love the guy at Georgia. I was big on the pick. He doesn't look like the same guy. I mean, he seems indecisive to me, like he's second-guessing himself. It almost feels like a quarterback who's had his mechanics change, and I've seen them do this before with rushers because they it's like Brady-esque the way they feel about negative runs, you know, the way he feels about the young receivers. It's like Bill hates negative runs, but sometimes you have to let a guy freelance and take some chances to break the big ones. I feel like it's just so been drilled into Sony Michel's head that don't get a negative run, don't get a negative run, that he's thinking about that instead of trying to find the hole, make guys miss. Like even, you know, even last night, there was a run before the 26-yarder where I thought he had a little room, and it's like, or it might have been a screen pass where I literally was like, oh my God, he ran directly into the only guy who could tackle him on that play. Like ran right into him.
So
like he was Olszewski on a punt return, ran directly to the only guy that could tackle him.
So I didn't watch him in Georgia. I'm just basing on what I've seen here.
Oh, he was electric at Georgia.
So where'd that go? Is it the knee? Or he just, you know,
I think they just beat it out of him.
So they told him to be slower? Or he goes to a league where everyone's fast?
You've said this for a while. There's like this unwritten rule, like no jump cuts, like just fall forward.
Yeah, just like, you know, it's kind of, they believe in a very, I saw with Maroney, who I was close with, like they believe in a very specific style of running, and like Bill would sit down with Maroney and like they'd watch film and he'd talk about, you know, this is where you should have gone and this is what you can do. And I think you've heard Bill say it before too. Like, you know, they'll take 4 yards again and again over negative three.
Right.
2, 1, 40, you know, and it's just, that's kind of the way they are and what they believe. And I feel like right now, mentally, they've kind of messed this kid up. Maybe it is something physically with the knee.
Well,
even on the 26 yarder, he looked a little slower, but I thought he looked quicker and faster in the preseason.
Me
so
too.
Did something happen?
Me too.
So who knows?
So like, but a lot of this, you know, last year when he was having some success, it felt like it was the line and not him. Now the line play isn't good and he looks worse. So all this says is probably more about the line than it is him, but that comes back to then why'd you have to take him in the first round? Like, if you're comparing him to Lawrence Maroney, and I understand it's a passing reference.
Yeah, and Maroney was the first round pick, by the
right, way. I know that, but that's not a good sign, because I wouldn't say that Lawrence Maroney worked out or was worth the pick.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's fair.
So I am now back to where I was close a year ago. I don't think the guy completely sucks, okay? But the not running hard and not getting extra yards and fighting for it on 4th and 1, I just felt like he went down pretty easy on that play.
At least they're throwing to him now.
Okay? Yes.
Which, that's a plus.
It is.
He had a nice blitz pickup that I noticed, so that's fine. But I don't find, like, Bolin said that Brandon Bolden's better. So, he played better last night. It's just sort of it's the root of my running back argument that I just think there's just a clump of everyone's pretty much the same except for a handful of guys. And what's the point? You know, unless you got Saquon Barkley, just
or Christian McCaffrey,
or right,
or Alvin Kamara,
but
or Ezekiel Elliott,
Kamara's
or
in
Todd Gurley.
Kamara's in the second round.
Could all those guys catch the ball, Chris?
And Gurley wouldn't put on that list.
I would.
I wouldn't.
I mean, Barkley had 91 catches last year.
But even then, but this is a whole different side argument. There's just, I don't know. You better be special to draft a guy up there. And I don't know where Sony Michel's special. I don't think he's physical. I don't think he's fast. I don't think he breaks tackles. They're just starting to throw to him a year and a half into the thing. So it's like, I don't know, where's the plus skill? Last year, he followed Devlin through the playoffs really well, and they got something going there. There's no question about it. So maybe that's part of it, too. He's missing Devlin. And the, you know, I mean, the Dutch kid, I felt like he was doing something a little bit.
The German kid?
Whatever. And then, so now he's hurt too. So maybe Michelle's one of these guys that needs a caddy. He needs a fullback, and maybe that's hurt him.
Yeah, so again, he wasn't that way at Georgia, I'll tell you that.
Well, look, oddly enough, Bedard said when we had him in here that the numbers were better actually without the fullback. But you watch him run, I'm telling you, the big thing for me, fullback, no fullback, 4th and 1, knock someone on their ass and get the yard. Knock someone on their ass and get it. I don't care how. I don't care any of the other stuff, whether you had a hole or not. Get the effing yard.
Okay, I promise. Your calls with Gasper after Murray's 90-second update, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.